conversation of combating financial crime continues in Kuala Lumpur. This is after the conversation of the anti-corruption event that is happening at Hotel Istana across the street from where I am right now in Shangri-La. The event that I'm attending is, of course, called the annual 10th Annual International Conference on Financial Crime and Terrorism Financing. Joining me is the organization chairman. I just want to understand a little bit better about the background of the conference.
Well, Ibrahim, when we started back 10 years ago, we didn't have a very good compliance conference in Malaysia. And it is, if there is any one that is held, it's very expensive. So we, the Compliance Officers Networking Group, put together a conference with three objectives, as I repeated in the during my opening speech. One was to create an affordable compliance conference that's assisting in the effort of capacity building. Then the second is to permeate the role of compliance function or the understanding of compliance across all other functions within the financial institution. That's the first line of defense, second line of defense, and all that. The third, of course, to put and showcase Malaysia's effort in terms of meeting the international standard on fighting financial crime and terrorism financing. These were very three key objectives that KONG set together, decided to have this conference, and with the help of Bank Negara, we started the conference.
KONG, of course, is the Compliance Officers Networking Group, to which you are the chairman currently. This is also in continuation of the current ongoings that is happening in the country, particularly on the exposés that is being done on 1MDB. As I made to understand, this conference, Javier Justo, from the former officer of PetroSaudi, is also coming to give a speech. Does this highlight the greater concern that the country is trying to do in combating financial crime and in ensuring compliance is being met?
So one of those things you hear from the new government is that they want to rise in terms of improving the corporate governance and transparency. And that's exactly the theme of the conference. It is meeting the new demands of, from a corporate governance perspective, that we want better transparency, more people involved in reporting, blowing, whistleblowing and all that. So I think it's apt that we place this theme together with what's happening around the country. So you can't run away of some of the big investigation that's going on in the country. I think more to come. There'll be more investigation, more exposés done. Andre is one of the guys who's going to speak about his own personal experience dealing with the life of imprisonment that he had and why, how he worked in PetroSaudi, what led to his arrest and all that. So that'll be an interesting session tomorrow.
The sideline that we're at right now is, of course, at Hotel Shangri-La. We're attracting a lot of speakers. Javier Justo is one of them. During the opening speech, after you gave your speech, were two keynote speeches that were given, one by the governor of Bank Negara. We'll get to that in a bit. But I just want to touch a little bit on what the other keynote speech was, which was given by Tan Sri Abu Kassim Muhammad, the former commissioner of MECC, currently is the DG of the National Center for Governance, Integrity and Anti-Corruption, or GIACC. He says that political corruption trumps everything else in this country. The political will is not there in combating political corruption, then there's no hope to be done. And honestly, being a compliance officer yourself, and in the corporate sector in Malaysia, there seems to be a high regard in ensuring compliance in the corporate sector, in the SME sector. But when we talk about political corruption, that underscores everything, and that goes into the billions of ringgit. Do you think there is a political will to combat political corruption?
I would answer this in a different way. If you look at all monies that if a political donation is made, and if it is made through a bank, of course, compliance officers would have picked up and reported. Now, the point is, from the time that it gets reported, then it's relayed upon to the enforcement agencies, how it is acted upon is a lot to do with the political will. Now, I think in the new Malaysia, we are all hoping that the entire transparency and the governance standards will improve. And all of those political funding, if it is legislated better, then we will get to a better state of the country in Malaysia.
Yeah, just to use an example, Mbank was one of the conduits in the transfer of 2.6 billion ringgit or 700 million US dollars into the account of Datuk Seri Najib Tun Razak. I'm sure there was some alarms that were rung during that transaction. If there were no political will involved, these kind of transactions will continue to happen. Do you think that going forward there will be greater compliance both by the regulators as well as the banks or financial institutions?
Okay, not touching on a specific case, but definitely the standard is that we all have to start improving the standards. And I think the central bank has been imposing penalties on the bank to ensure that we all across the financial institution got to improve their standards. And the governor made comment that there has been great improvement. And if you look at Compliance Officers Networking Group, when we share, discuss the common issues we face, one of the key things is to improve across all of us. What are the standards that we need to put in each of our institutions?
Okay, let's touch a little bit on the governor's speech. We were alluding to it earlier. The governor of Bank Negara, Datuk Nur Syamsiah Mohamed Yunus, dropped somewhat of a bombshell where she stated that moving forward, beginning 1st January 2019, any transactions from any banks or any financial institutions more than 25,000 ringgit has to be reported to Bank Negara. This is lowering down the bracket from the 50,000 ringgit currently. And this, the announcement was made to a room full of gasp and shock. Was that the kind of expectations of expression, do you think?
I think, to be frank, I think Bank Negara has been engaging some of the bigger institutions to actually tell all of us that's what's the challenges. They wanted to gauge the market's perception in terms of lowering the standard. I think they have given enough notice to some of the big players.
But still the room was a bit short.
Yeah, so this is the junior personnel. Most of them probably didn't know that this ruling is coming. And definitely we didn't know when exactly they're going to implement. So they didn't expect the announcement today, I guess. But for those bigger banks where there has been engagement by Bank Negara, there has been some, sign of the changes coming. So, of course, lowering from 50 to 25 will add on slightly more work in terms of getting the details. So that's probably one of the worry that the compliance officers who were attending the conference felt for a while.
A friend of mine, he deals with hijab and other fabric materials. When he heard the news, he said that there's nothing wrong, because I was asking him, prior to this interview, I was asking him whether or not it will impact businesses like his. He said that, tada lah, it's just the same thing. I'm already dealing with 200 to 300,000 ringgit payment to my suppliers in India and elsewhere. There is no difference to me. So that, at least from the point of view of the, say, traders, they don't see this as an add-on concern.
No, I think end of the day, this requirement only applies to cash and near cash transactions. So if you are bringing cash of 25,000 and depositing into an account, then the details are taken. If you're a third party, then you have to provide the detail and the purpose of the transaction. Now, as I said, 99.9% of the people are actually legitimate business guys and individuals. We are trying to capture probably the 0.01% who is trying to use the system for laundering and financing of terrorism. Of course, everyone goes through the pain. But that's the only way that you can catch the guys who are trying to use the system by various methods, right? So it's not going to add any more problems to the business guys. Only think, because banks do have a measure that those businesses in cash intensive business, they will be always whitelisted. But the information will be gathered, because if you come on a daily basis, that information is captured on a daily basis. So there's not much of an add-on. Of course, the work on the front line, if it is a third party depositing, they will have to give the detail. But today, most banks already have the measure in place where when you walk in, They take your mica, they insert into a machine, you put a thumbprint, the information get captured. And only add-on they do is the purpose of transaction.
And of course, when we talk about terrorism financing and money laundering, yeah, while terrorism financing is also an important element, it's more of money laundering that we're concerned of right now. And you were telling us a little bit of this element just now. Prior to this interview, you had a press conference where you have this conduit, you have these front faces of people doing the business. That individual might not own the business, and it might be a front for something else. Do you think that these kind of measures, you're lowering down the amount from 50,000 to 5, the greater awareness of money laundering through media, through conferences such as this, do you think all these efforts can actually address trying to get to the real culprit instead of the front man?
I think the
or front woman, pardon me.
The actions has got to be multifaceted. One, of course, lowering the transaction limit for CTR reporting does not necessarily mean you're able to pick up those ultimate beneficial owners who are hiding behind the veil of incorporation. Now, there are various other measures. One of it is definitely the amendments that's coming in, I mean, which is in the Companies Act 2016. Which will be announced, I mean, which will be deliberated in the UBO session tomorrow. We expect SSM to be able to help in terms of providing the registry of records for us to be able to identify the actual ultimate beneficial owner. But as you say, people who want to hide behind the scene will never put their name. In Malaysia, you hear, do hear people that this guy is a proxy of someone. How does he become a proxy? Then there is a transfer of form signed and all that, right? So probably to illegalize, criminalize the activity of having a proxy form signed, and that become, you know, on the day of that guy wants to take control of the company, if it is documented any time before, it should be illegal, not treated as a document that should be accepted by SSF.
All right. We'll continue on this conversation in our interview with Javier Justo tomorrow on Estrawani. But Mr. Maslamani, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you.
I've been speaking to V. Maslamani, the organizing chairman committee of the IFCTF, or the International Financing Crime and Terrorism Financing Conference, currently happening at Shangri-La. If you want to listen to more of this interview or watch more of these kind of interviews, just head on to alwanireview.com or estrawani.com. That's it for me. Thank you very much and goodbye. Thank you.